So we ended last week that when it comes to the ratio of wine to whiskey, in order to make whiskey and sherry cask kosher, we need 6 parts whiskey to 1 part non-kosher wine. And we saw the details of that last week. But now it's time to turn to the practical question. Is whiskey in sherry casks kosher? And we saw last week that the truth is there's a, as of yet, unresolved machloka, an unresolved dispute between the Shach and the Taz. How do you calculate the amount of non-kosher wine inside the barrel? And we saw two positions. The position of the Shach is that you consider the entire barrel, all of the thickness of the walls, the entirety to be 100% permeated with wine. See, the whole thing as wine. On the other hand, we saw that the Taz says, no, it's Kedei Klipa. What exactly the Klipa is as we measure it, well, we'll talk about that shortly. But it's basically the inner layer, the peel, as it were, of the barrel. That's what we consider to be suffused with wine. And so that leaves us basically at this point with an opportunity to now run the maths. And simply the question is, when we calculate the volume of the whiskey in the barrel, and we calculate the volume of the non-kosher wine, be it Kedei Kula, the entire thing, be it Kedei Klipa, just the inner layer, do we get that ratio to 6 to 1? And, well, that's what we'll do, and then we'll kind of move forward from this point once we've run the numbers, which I'm now going to write down on my makeshift whiteboard, and then we'll be able to run the numbers. So here's the thing. So these calculations basically come from, there's a book called Sherry Casks, A Halachic Perspective, which may not surprise you. It gives you a halachic perspective on sherry casks. But basically, he uses an online program. These things are pretty easy to find. The shape of a barrel, and this is not my wheelhouse, but the shape of a barrel is a surprisingly complex thing to calculate the volume of. But here you go. A 500-liter barrel, which is the standard. He's using the standard kind of barrel. A 500-liter barrel actually contains 500, this is really not stable, 511.5 liters of whiskey. That's how it works. That's not actually surprising. There you go. That's, so we know already, that's the whiskey in the sherry cask. There are 511.5 liters. We also know the external volume. The external volume is 647.4 liters, which allows us to calculate the entire thickness of the walls, the position of the shach. You simply minus one from the other, and you are left with, I double check this, but feel free, and everyone now carries a calculator with them, but you are left with 135.9 liters. So what we have here is our two numbers. We know the volume of the whiskey, and we know the volume of the walls. And if we put the two of those in ratio with one another, then we are left with a ratio of 3.76 to 1. Yeah, thumbs down, sad face. This is according to the position of the shach. The answer is whiskey in sherry casks is treif. It is not kosher. It is not permissible because it does not have the required ratio of whiskey to wine for it to be non-kosher. The question then becomes, okay, what about the Taz? Because the Taz only thinks Kedei Klipa. And this is where I had a bit of a few moments where I thought about this. How can you calculate Kedei Klipa? Because we don't actually know the actual measurement of Kedei Klipa. And then I realized, I had a brainwave and I was very, very proud of myself. You can do very, 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 very basic mathematics to just brute force and figure out how thick does the klipa need to be in order for it to be kosher. And here's the thing. So we know the walls are 135.9 liters. So what if, and you can do this in Excel, Google Sheets, what if instead of using 135.9, we use 90% of that value? We assume Kedei Klipa is 90% of the wall, which would be crazy, but let's assume it. What if we use 80? What if we use 70? What if we use 60, 50, 40? You get the idea. At which point does a percentage of the thickness of the walls shift to a ratio higher than 6 to 1 and thus make it kosher? And it turns out that 70, 90 is no good, 80 is no good, 70 is no good, 60, good. You drill down a bit further, you brute force it a bit more. It's actually 62%. If the Kalipa... This is going to be sad. If the Kalipa is greater or equal to 62% of the walls, then you have a ratio of 6 to 1, and it is kosher, which is great. Now, there is no world in which the Kalipa is actually 62%. Less than or equal. Yeah, you're right. I knew this would go wrong at some point. But that's... If the signage is the thing we went wrong on, it is... You know, and we're done with the makeshift board. Basically, there is no world in which Kadai Kalipa is 62% of the thickness of a barrel. Kadai Kalipa is a minimal fraction. If it were 10%, it would be a lot. If it were 5%, it would probably still be a lot. In other words, there is no doubt whatsoever that according to the TAS, according to the position where we go Kadai Kalipa, whiskey and sherry casks is kosher. And so this leaves us with not actually an unsurprising problem, but this leaves us with a problem, because according to one halachic authority, the Shach, whiskey and sherry casks, not good. According to another authority, the Taz, whiskey and sherry casks is good, is kosher. So practically speaking, what should we do? Which opinion do we follow? What is the appropriate path for us to take? So I'm going to leave that question for a few more moments, because first, before we get there, I just want to talk about a few other types, because right now we've only been dealing with scotch in sherry casks, whiskey in sherry casks. What about other single malt scotch in sherry casks? So I'm going to say a huge caveat. I am not a whiskey person. I'm just not. I just don't really drink it a lot. People who know whiskey know that there are actually 15,000 different ways they can make whiskey, but I'm basically going to sketch out the rough idea so that if you are a whiskey aficionado, you probably have the ability to understand the whiskey better and therefore apply the kashrut question to the whiskey.
Why does it matter what type of whiskey? It's just a volume of one liquid against...
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, take bourbon. Bourbon never sees a sherry cask. You obviously never have to worry about the kashrut of bourbon because it's never seen a sherry cask in its life. Similar whiskey, like we have downstairs in the shul, whiskey only matured in oak casks. Again, it's never seen a sherry cask in its life. So for starters, you always carefully read the label. And if the label has no mention whatsoever, no recognition whatsoever, and again, sherry casks is the kind of thing that would always play up. If there's no recognition, no acknowledgement whatsoever of sherry casks, you don't need to worry. So downstairs we have the Islay something. Again, I don't drink it, but we have it in the Kiddush room. It's only oak casks, which is why we have it. It's only oak casks, doesn't present a kashrut question to begin with. That's the obvious one. If it doesn't have sherry casks, you never need to worry to begin with. Blended whiskey, likewise, you don't need to worry. And the main reason is because, even according to the Shach, you're assuming that your bottle is 100% whiskey and sherry casks. Blended whiskey is, well, blended. They take different whiskies and they blend them together. Sherry casks will always be the smallest percentage of blended whiskey because it's the most expensive to produce. So you can't run the math anyway that won't make so even blended whiskey. And this is why a lot of the halal, there is, and I think I've mentioned this in a previous shiur, there is a lot of questions over some halachic authorities. What are they describing when they describe whiskey? Were they themselves aware of the various nuances? So when they specify certain things, do we know that they're actually permitting what we think they're permitting? But what's clear is that something like blended whiskey, it's hard to have a halachic issue with because, again, the sherry cask, the presence of the sherry is so minute that there's nothing to worry about. Things get more complicated with single malt whiskey, upon which in the label it mentions sherry casks. And it is at this point I must admit that there is a limit to my whiskey knowledge. So all I can basically say is that there are a lot, from what I have read, there are a lot of different types of whiskey that will all be single malt and that will all be sherry cask, but nonetheless don't necessarily present a problem even if you follow Shach. So, for instance, the Glenfiddich, the 12-year-old, is it's not a blend, but it is still a mixture. I don't know whiskies. I don't know what the difference between a mixture of whiskies and a blend is, but for whatever reason, the sherry cask is still, sherry cask whiskey is still not the main constituent even of like Glenfiddich 12. And again, you can look this up and you can go through Sherry Cask's A Halachic Perspective, where he really talks about this in greater detail towards the end. By the way, he sides with the Shach and he basically thinks sherry cask whiskey is treif, so then he's basically like, but here are the things you can still drink. But there are some things like Glenfiddich where the presence of the sherry cask is still minute enough that it's not a concern even for Shach. In contrast, there are some whiskies where they're like double barrel and the sherry cask is still present and that still presents a problem. So again, if you are the kind of person where you're going to follow Shach, then you really need to understand. And again, if you're a whiskey person, there are websites that detail this to tremendous levels. But you really need to understand what component of interaction is the sherry cask. Is it just thrown in at the end? If what you are drinking, that liquid, or what you want to drink, if that liquid spent more than 24 hours, which you would have done, living in a sherry cask, then you have a problem. But if only a small percentage of what you want to drink spent some time living in a sherry cask, you are fine. That's basically the question you always have to answer. And it's going to depend from brand to brand, bottle to bottle, year to year kind of thing. Depending on the whiskey that's made, it's going to affect things. This being said, this is all if you are going to follow the Shach, who forbids it, as opposed to the Taz. And this is where things get complicated, because practically speaking, who do we follow? Do we follow Shach? Do we follow Taz? Which is which? So this hits on a kind of a broader halachic question, which is how do we decide halachic decision-making? So we generally, you know, what is not controversial is if the Shulchan Aruch says do X, and some random rabbi who lived in the 13th century you'd never otherwise heard of says do Y, we basically are always going to follow the Shulchan Aruch. There is a generally assumed batting order to halachic authorities. Some halachic authorities, for one reason or another, count more than others. It gets more complicated when it comes to the Shach and Taz, because even though we tend to, as a community, side with Shach over Taz, it is not a one always wins over the other. It is not a slam dunk. It is not a one is so overwhelmingly more important than the other that we will always side with them. It's just we tend to often side with Shach, but the Taz is very much still a very valid halachic authority, particularly as we've seen, and I've mentioned in the previous shiurim, a lot of the Taz is also representative of what a lot of other halachic authorities also seem to agree with.
Except in Manchester.
But this really leaves us with the central question, which is, should we follow Shach or Taz? Here's the thing. You could equally legitimately claim, well, here's what you can't claim. Here's what you cannot legitimately claim. You cannot legitimately claim whiskey in sherry casks is treif, because the Taz, who's a very significant authority, says, no, it's not. You also cannot claim whiskey in sherry casks is completely and utterly 100% kosher, because you have the Shach, and the Shach is a very... You know, there are some things where, like, things are rarely black and white, but there are plenty of areas of halacha where we can say things are pretty black and white, even though there are rabbis who disagree. This is not one of those areas. Also, it's worth pointing out, and I mentioned this in previous weeks, you have a lot of halachic authorities who try to find less compelling reasons than a Kadei Klipa argument to try and justify whiskey. So if there are weaker reasons, it kind of allows the Taz to stay in play a bit more. So I think, for me, the way I kind of would like to frame this is it's not between kosher and not kosher. It's between, in these two terms, all kind of classic terms used. It's the question of what we'd call Me'ika Hadin and Khumra. Me'ika Hadin is, according to the letter of the law, something is permitted. But, you know, Mitzad Khumra, we're going to be a bit more stringent, and so we're not going to do it in this particular instance. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, again, I mentioned before, it's unclear always what's being discussed. He seems to be talking about American and Canadian whiskey, where non-kosher wine is actively added in the process. Apparently. He still thinks it's okay. However, he adds a crucial word, or he adds a crucial phrase, which is that a ba'al nefesh, someone who is particular, someone who's typically stringent in their life, someone who's perhaps striving for a certain elite level of spirituality, that person should avoid drinking the whiskey, even though Me'ika Hadin, it's permitted. Nonetheless, kind of a from person would kind of avoid drinking this. And so the best way, you know, one of the things we use a lot in Kashrut, there's also legal reasons for using it, is the term, it does not fit our community's standards. This is famously a thing when it comes to kosher agencies as a whole. It's like a legal American law thing. I learned this. You have to say, you cannot say, triangle K is treif, because that is apparently a problem in American law, to claim an agency is not kosher when it is claiming from legitimate reasons that it is kosher. The phrase instead is, it does not meet our community's standards. That's kind of the way you frame it. So it's kind of like, we as a community have certain standards of kashrut, and we allow certain things, and we don't allow certain, and that basically makes sense, because it's not that Triangle K are letting people eat pork, it's just they are following certain halachic positions that other kashrut agencies aren't cool following, and that's basically how we get the various reputations of different kashrut agencies. And so we have this sense of what meets the community's standards and what doesn't. And this is where this question of whiskey comes in, because what is the community's standard? So I think, you know, I am not changing the policy of the shul to allow sherry cask whiskey in the shul, because I think you want to allow the ba'al nefesh in the shul to not have to double check the bottles of whiskey in the shul. It's generally a good point, even though a lot of alcohol is kosher. Nonetheless, you wanna make sure that, you know, generally speaking, as many people as possible will be comfortable without having to question the kasher of the roop.
Do we know that the ba'al nefesh drinks?
We're going to assume the Ba'al Nefesh is the guy asking the question.
Okay.
The Ba'al Nefesh is the guy who's, you know, spotted the sherry cask, and it bothers him enough to kind of ask him or her. It bothers them to ask that question.
Crown Royal is pretty popular in a lot of Kiddush clubs.
Yeah. So
that's a rye whiskey, and you say the American or Canadian whiskey has wine.
So yeah, so that, and you know,
different Crown Royal. There's the one that's in the sherry cask is one that we generally speaking don't drink.
Okay.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
So look, here's kind of my take, and this is actually going to be a really short share, so there you go. But here's kind of, you know, my take on this. And again, I don't really have skin in the game because I'm not an alcohol drinker. I am not from a, despite the fact that my grandmother is Scottish, I am not a family of strong alcoholic drinkers. So I have no strong reasons to permit or forbid one way or another. But basically, here's the thing. Let's say you're a whiskey person. I recently met someone who's so much so that I think I mentioned in the first year, I used to think whiskey with a wine and scotch. And then I was disabused of that notion because I met someone who really knew their whiskey. They had like literally been to like a whiskey festival recently, and they know their whiskey. If you're the kind of person who really knows your whiskey, and like you can taste it, and it's not just marketing, you're like, oh, this is peaty. Oh, this is mossy. Oh, this was grown. This was matured during a storm. If you're one of those kinds of people, and there are people out there who are like that, everyone has their thing that they obsess over. For some people, it's whiskey. And you really want to drink the sherry cask Glenfiddich, you know what? It's fine. There is plenty of halachic support to justify you drinking that sherry cask. Don't necessarily, you know, take it out at a simcha and not warn people to drink it, but if you're really, 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 this is your thing, and you're into whiskey, you know what? There is plenty of reasons to argue, and there are probably far less compelling arguments we make to justify other things. There's a plenty of reasons to argue whiskey and sherry casks are kosher. However, if you're the kind of person who you just want to have some alcohol in your house, and you know what? You don't really care, because you're not really into alcohol, but you just want kind of, you should have a bottle of whiskey in your home, you should have a bottle of this, you should have a bottle, you want to have a bar. You know, people can want that, that is fine. You want to have a well-stocked bar, then if that's your sole reason for buying the whiskey and you're going to drink it very, very rarely, then there'd be no reason to Davka go for sherry casks, because, you know, there is this sense that maybe, you know, there are some elements of its kashrut that are circumspect. I'm not saying two different things, I'm just kind of, there's a spectrum through which this is viewed, where if you really don't care, why not just, you know, it's like an effortless chumra. It's not forcing you or anyone else to abide by something. It's effortless, so why not do it? Why not, you know, a chumra which is otherwise effortless, where the rationale also makes sense, there's not necessarily any reason not to do so. Also, and this kind of really brings me to my final point, if you're otherwise striving to be a Baal Nefesh, then, you know, whiskey should be an area in which you consider. And this is really, I was talking about this year a few weeks ago with my colleague, Rabbi Jason Strauss, who's the rabbi at Kadima. We also teach in Maimah together, and we've been friends for years because he went to Columbia with my wife, and so I was used to stay with him when I visited for Shabbat. And I was talking about this, and I was expressing my shock that the Mincha Yitzchak, who is famously opposed to everything, seems to be justifying certain parts of whiskey. And he pointed out, and I think this is a really good point, and I give him the full credit for pointing it out, there is something wrong with, and I don't want to single out any specific halakha laws, but there is something wrong in a community where many members of the community are so insistent on conforming to every known and unknown chumra, where they are insistent on living a truly stringent life in every single way. You know, they hear, again, I come from Manchester, which is fond of its chumrat. Sometimes the things that you hear are prohibited are striking. But, you know, there are some communities out there and some people who love a good chumra. And yet, there is one arena where they will apply every single leniency they can possibly find, and that's alcohol drinking. And you know what? And it's appropriate, given Purim is coming up, that yes, you're supposed to drink alcohol on Purim, but there's a reason why the Gemara follows that with a cautionary tale, and there's a reason why basically every single halachic authority seems to pull back on the idea of getting drunk. And I just read today Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchat Asher, I happened to come across his thing where he's basically saying, like, outside of the meal, there is no justification to drink. You know, there's absolutely no justification for getting absolutely drunk. And I think, you know, generally the question is kind of what... Yes, again, if you're a whiskey person and whiskey means a lot to you, you're probably also not the kind of person who gets drunk on it. But if you're the kind of person for whom the ability to taste whiskey sherry casks is a big thing, this is one of those areas where you can legitimately argue there's a strong justification for doing so. But if you otherwise are that person who always walks around pointing out every single chum, every single stringency, and all these sorts of things, then this is definitely not the arena to be like, oh, but the Taz says it's okay, because whether you know it or not, you're basically following the Shach in everything else you do in life where he has a strong opinion anyway. So this is definitely not the area to do so. And so, ultimately, when the dust settles on this halachic question, we end maybe somewhat unsatisfyingly on a maybe. Is whiskey and sherry casks kosher? The answer is maybe. And it really hinges on a central question, which is, and going back to when I mentioned this at the beginning, this is really what makes whiskey kashrut so fascinating, is it's real. You can make a, you know, they want, at least, you can make a strong argument that they want the wine in there. They want it to contribute something. What you know is that if you hack open a barrel, it's not all wine. That is definitely correct. probably also true is Kleypa is way too low. And Esther, and that's why my kind of my 62% is nice, because it's probably actually a good number. But the point is that it's definitely more in the barrel than Kleypa anyway. But the idea then is that it's unclear whether the sherry cask contaminates the whiskey to the point where it makes it non-kosher, and ultimately you have an opinion to rely on either way, and that's how we live our Jewish life. There's an opinion that permits it, there's an opinion that forbids it, and sometimes it may sometimes seem like a toss of a coin, but I think ultimately it depends on the kind of person you are and your relationship to alcohol and what appropriate relationships are to alcohol for a religious Jew to consider. And so I think ultimately there is plenty of reason to legitimize scotch in sherry casks. And if you see someone in their home with scotch and sherry, you know, from sherry casks, there is no reason to be like, hold on a second, that's a problem. Because you know what? Chances are there's no problem, because there is plenty of halakhic positions to argue it's okay. But that's also not to say that therefore you should run out to, you know, the alcohol store down the road from here tomorrow and just for fun kind of, you know, pack your car with every single whiskey and sherry casks possible, because that too would be a misrepresentation of the halachic discussion. And ultimately we're left with this inconclusive, that's really the word I'm going for. We're left with a thing. And there's no clear answer one way or another, but that ultimately is the question of whiskey kashrut. Is it kosher if it's in whiskey casks? Maybe. And the choice you make might reflect kind of the broader priorities and the broader, you know, perspective you have on living a halachic life.